If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter number 1. I thought I was going to preach something else that was of which I desire to do, which was going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about the different stars that are held up in the world's face, I mean, even the NFL is going overseas and playing football, you know, over in England and all that place, you know, over in Europe. You think of the stars that this world holds up in high esteem. You think of the NFL. You think of the boxing arena. You think of the cooking arena. You think of all the different arenas that have produced stars. And Jesus Christ has outdone every one of those stars that this world has ever produced. I mean, when he wanted to fight the devil and when he wanted to defeat death, you know what kind of advantage he gave? He nailed himself to a cross. He couldn't even swing, man. He had his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. And he said, I'm going to defeat you without even being able to swing at you. Now, that's a hero. Now, that's a soldier. Now, that's a star. Amen. And he is called the bright morning star. And I thought I was going to preach that, but then my wife and I, one advantage of our cell phone is we put on Colossians and Philippians each night before we go to bed, and that plays while we go to bed. And Colossians chapter number 1, verse 6, verses 1 through 6 popped up, and the Lord said, how would you like to preach on that? And I said, I'd love to, Lord. Thank you. So that's a confidence that I come to you with as I preach this message. So if you'll look with me in Colossians chapter number 1, and read with me. I'd like to talk to you about hope, laid up hope in heaven. Laid up hope in heaven. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come in you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. But Paul talks to the Colossians here, and he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you and wherever we're at. What are we, October 17th, 2021? I know we have it good in America, but if I was to ask you, are you feeling any slight oppressions in your life? I wonder what the answer would be. I think that in America today and things that are going on worldwide, I think the door is closing for the liberties that the Christians have. I think that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be on His throne. It's evident He's going to be on His throne. I don't know when He's going to be on His throne. The Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, we're the Greeks. We're the Gentiles, right? And the Jews require a sign. We don't require a sign. We walk by faith and not by sight. But beloved, that doesn't mean that, as a preacher said, we can't read the signs. The signs, Peter says, at the end of all things is at hand. And we're being encroached upon just a little bit. And we're being pressed upon just a little bit. And no better topic to encourage you with than, as Paul says right here, that you have some things laid up and it produces a hope, and that's in heaven. That's in heaven. And thank God, if you're saved in here today, that's where you're going to reside. You're going to reside with everlasting life. You're going to reside in a place called heaven. And Paul says that, excuse me, which is coming to you as in all the world that bringeth forth fruit. Oops, excuse me, verse number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, you know how you lay up a wall, a block wall? You lay it up one block at a time. You lay one block here, one block here, one block here, one block here, and then it's got a seam, and you lay the block there and the block there, and that gives it stability, that gives it its strength. And the Lord said that He's laid up some things for us in heaven. And so our text says we have some hope or some hopes that await us in the place we're going to reside in forever, that's heaven. A man said one time, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't think we have that problem in this day and age. I think we're so overrun with the cares of the world and paying our bills and thinking about our future that we actually, that actually affects us more than actually where we're going to abide for all eternity. I think if we got to thinking about where we're going to abide for all eternity and what we're going to have and what it's going to be like and what we are going to do and what we aren't going to do, I think that we'd be a little different person. I think that we'd have other desires. I think that we'd have other hungers. I think that we would have other thirsts. I think that we would live a little differently. But to convince the 2021 Christian of that today, because we're so overrun with the blessings of the things of our country, it's hard to rattle and shake a Christian to say, you're going to a promised land. You're going to a place where you're not going to die. You're going to a place where you're not going to cry. You're going to a place where you're not going to sin. You're going to a place where you are going to do this. You are going to glorify God. You are going to see Jesus Christ face to face. I guarantee you there's no Starbucks in heaven, but there might be a Caribou. And maybe He'll take you to that place. Hey, maybe He'll take you to that place and you'll have a cup every morning. And you might sit down and He'll start to open up the Scriptures with you just a little bit. And those things that we were blinded to down here and we didn't understand fully and they didn't affect us all that much up there. The Bible says about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our heart burn within inside of us as He expounded the Scriptures? See, that's the type of life that we need to live for. We're so caught up in the temporal now and now, which is true, that we forget the lovely by and by. But we really should be living for the by and by. We really should be living for eternity. Listen, the stockbrokers say that. Our country, our economy is based on Wall Street. You know what it's based on? It's based on Americans pouring money into that thing so that you're taking a risk by faith to pour your means into that thing so that what? You can just have a good time and a certificate and say, I poured my means into it? No, you want to put 10 in, you want 100 out. That's an investment. That takes faith. So is true about New Jerusalem's eternal stock market. Amen. And it generates some hope to those that are saved. To those that are saved and been born again, brothers and sisters, if you realize it or not, you have some hopes that should generate some joy and should generate some enthusiasm about where you're going to be when you take your last breath. If a person's unsaved, the Bible says that they're in the world without hope and without God. When you pass away, and if you are unsaved, if you're trusting your religion, if you're trusting your self-righteousness, if you're trusting yourself, if you don't understand that your sins are going to take you to hell, and the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law, and the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. If you don't understand, and the Holy Ghost of God has not illumined you to the place where you need to be saved, your sins need to be paid for by the sinless sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never received Him and called upon Him for salvation, I don't have a good message for you today as far as your eternity goes. It's a hopeless eternity. And if you're unsaved, you need to get saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, neither the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Man, if I could just find someone that wanted to get saved, I'd have a great message for him. If you're not saved in here today, we got a great message for you. Jesus saves. Amen. Hey, being unsaved, what hope do you have in this world? I got a large bank account. I got credit cards. I got a large house. I got this. I got that. I got this. I got that. Being unsaved, you have no hope in this world. No. Yeah, you've got the money. Yeah, you've got that. Yeah, you've got that. Or you're a bum on the street and you don't. So to some, this is the closest to heaven you'll ever get. And to some, this is the closest to hell you'll ever get. But I'm talking about laid up hope in heaven. You can't get to heaven any other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, for there is one God and one mediator, that's a go-between, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. There's only one way. You know that. I'm preaching to save people here today. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But listen, hey, are you saved in here today? Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, let me ask you something. How is your hope level? Amidst all the things that you deal with, the sickness in your body, the pains in your body, the memory loss, the gray hair, the aching back, the bills that need to be paid, the kids that are sick, the cancer, the diabetes, the all that stuff. Listen, how is your hope level today? You said you're saved. You said amen that you're saved. But listen, the Bible says that we are to set our affections on things above. When was the last time I set my affection on things above and it caused my hope meter to go zing, you know, ding? Saved people don't hope they're going to make it to heaven. The Bible says that we're seated with him. We don't hope that we're going to heaven. I hope you talk to people. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. No, I don't hope so. That's not my hope. I don't have a hope that, I hope I'm going to heaven. No, I'm going to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says very distinctly in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 6, that I'm seated with him currently in heavenly places. I don't hope that I'm going to heaven. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, that our names are written down in the book of life. 1 John, I don't hope that I'm going to heaven. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm confident to know that when I exit this temporal body, I'm confident to know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, I'm confident. I have authority, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident, brother. I know where I'm going to go when I pass away. Man, that's a great hope right there, let alone to know what I'm going to. I tell God, I don't deserve, number one, to be saved. I don't deserve to go to the place that you've prepared for me. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
I don't deserve that. Just in my last week in the drudgery of my sin and my wickedness and the desires for my flesh and the lackness for the Spirit of God, I desire to go burn in hell for an eternity because God's holy. But I ain't gonna, because he sees me through the righteousness and the blood of his Son. Listen, that's his plan that I'm trusting in. That's not man's plan. Calvary's not man's plan. Calvary's God's plan. Calvary's God's provision. And when I want to meet God, I meet God at Calvary. I meet God at the mercy seat. I meet God where there's some sinless blood that patches things up between me and a holy, righteous God. Amen. It's true. I'm confident. I don't hope. I know. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you ask him to save you? Are you saved? Did he hear you? Amen. Yeah, and we have the confidence that he hears our petition. The promise of eternal life and the home in heaven and the things that heaven contains for God's children should produce hope, comfort, a peace, to know there's something to live for on this earth and there's something awaiting them in heaven. And that's what I said. We're to set our affections on things above. Man said one time, as far as a quote goes about hope, and then I'll get into these things that are laid up in heaven. But man, I want to encourage you. I want to bolster your hope today. Because we are new creatures in Christ. We should walk around as Christians that are new creatures in Christ. It's a no wonder that the Bible talks about being addicted to the ministry. You know, people that have addictions sell their addictions. And the products that they have sell themselves because the products that they have do things for people. I'm addicted to the gospel, brother. Don't call me a soul winner. Don't you dare call me a soul winner. Don't defame people that are winning souls. When was the last time I won a soul to Jesus Christ? Was it a month ago? It might have been. Don't call me a soul winner. A soul winner wins souls. But I'm addicted to the gospel. Do I try? Yes, I do. But just because I try to go fishing doesn't make me a fisherman. When I start catching them, then I'm a fisherman. Amen. Amen. Hope is biblical shorthand for unconditional certainty. Hope. Man, what hope? What? Let me ask you something right now. What is your chief hope right now? I'll tell you what it is. It's my dinner after church. That's what it is, brother. I'm waiting for you to shut up so I can get to it. Amen. Or that cup of coffee that's on the other side that we're going to start smelling in about 30 minutes. So as long as that long-winded preacher keeps going, I can't get to it. Hey, what is your hope inside of your being right now? I'm trying to convince you that it should be the place where you're going to spend all eternity. It's that place that Jesus Christ bought and purchased and paid for you. And when you took Him as your personal Savior, you got it lock, stock, and barrel. Now, we can enjoy things on this earth, don't get me wrong. But those things are only going to be temporal. Hope is faith in the future tense. The Bible says that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which hope we have, speaking of Jesus Christ, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Man, you cast that anchor overboard and you're sure hoping that it's not going to drift with the winds of time. It's not going to drift with the storms of this world. It's going to do what you want it to do. It's going to anchor you right there. And as far as us Christians go and the hope that we have and the hope that heaven produces for us, speaking about Jesus Christ as our anchor, it says, as soon as I can find that note wherever it went, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hope can see heaven through the thickest of clouds with the eye of faith. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Or it's a feeling of trust. Hope is when you're looking forward to coming plans or events or seeing people, and these generate excitement in you of those things coming to pass. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Lord willing, we're going to go to Ohio. We got some folks in here that are going to be going to Montana and the things that they're going to be doing in Montana. You know what that does? That's a hope. That's something in the future that's going to happen. And between that generates a certain excitement. So true is heaven. So true is New Jerusalem. So true is the place where you're going to spend all eternity. I'll give you one. What's an illustration of hope? You said, I thought you were going to preach on heaven. I know, but I wanted to try to bolster the hope just a little bit before we get to the things of heaven. What's a great illustration? I'll try to get right down there in the seat with you of hope. It's when you need a part for your car. It's when you need that special tool. And you call that guy, or maybe you don't know how to do something, and you ask him to help you, and he's got the tool, or he's got the part, or he's got that thing. You know what that is? That's a hope that you have. And when he gets it done, it's a relief that it's gotten done and you've got past it. So true is heaven. Hope is when, ladies, you need an ingredient for your meal. How about you need a medicine for your ills? Or you need some monies to come in to pay a bill for you. Or maybe you have an illness that you just can't get through and you're hoping for the day that you can get on the backside of that thing. And you long for that. Oh, the Christians would long for heaven. Oh, that it would influence their heart, influence their mind, and it would influence the fervor of their spirit to want to live for it just a little more. I say that because we're so tantalized with the things that we can see in our flesh and our carnality. When your need is met, your hopes are fulfilled, you're relieved. Hope is disciplined waiting. Hope is the mother of patience. So, as Christians, you have hopes laid up for you in heaven. That's what the Bible says right there. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Some things that are laid up. Hope that's laid up for you in heaven. That should generate a contentment and a calm and a satisfaction and a comfort while you're here on this earth. Let alone generate some zeal and some fervor and some desire to live for it. Hey, they say that your home is your castle. Is your earth your heaven? Who? It shouldn't be. It's temporal. It's temporal. To get you to cross that divide and to try to persuade you to think about that. I'll give you one more and then we'll get into these things. The Christian's hope is not a matter of tickling your minds or your ears. I'm going to talk to you about heaven. I'm trying to talk to you about heaven. The Christian's hope is not a matter of tickling your minds. I wonder sometimes if that's what preaching and coming to church is. We're glad that you're coming to church. But is it just a tickling of the heart and a tickling of the mind where it's not being transitioned into the walk and into the fellowship with your Savior? If that's the case, we need to put a check on that. We need to do something about that. I believe the Lord spoke to the churches in the book of Revelation about those types of things. The Christian's hope is not a matter of tickling your ears or your minds, but the changing of lives and for influencing society and for those that are around us. What if they were to say, what's that theme park just down the road here? Yeah. If they were to say, free tickets at Valley Fair, and as that replicates a great place of enjoyment with all the lights and with all the sounds and with all the laughter and maybe some of the things that you would correlate with heaven, and someone were to come in here and say, free tickets, free tickets, free tickets, I wonder if our desire would be, man, let's go get them and let's go. Well, the Bible says the free gift of God, which is eternal life. There's a free ticket to get into that. I don't want to call it an amusement park because that would degrade heaven. Free tickets to eternal life. Free tickets to the grandest place that God made. How about that? That God made. It should influence our life. Well, here's a few hopes. A few hopes laid up for Christians. That's what it says there. A few hopes which is laid up for you in heaven. You know what hope number one is? I like this. This is so common. We are going to, Christians and saved people, not lost folks. Christians and saved people are going to be able to get away from the nasty, wicked, this nasty, wicked, sin-cursed, vile world and have the hope of going to heaven and to a holy place. Yeah. Mother Earth. She's a terrible mother, let me tell you that. And things like that. Save the earth. No, the earth is going to burn. Listen, I'm going to prove to you. But go with me to Revelation chapter number 21. I'm going to prove to you. Now, the Bible does say that the heaven and earth were made by the Lord. There's a curse on this earth. And there's sin in this earth. And God's given us all things richly to enjoy. You know, I understand that. We can go out there, we enjoy nature, and we enjoy the leaves, and we enjoy all the things that nature has to offer, or things of that like that. But let me ask something. When you have a headache, or when you have a toothache, or when you have an infection in your body, except when you go to Dr. Hansen, because she can help you out with all the herbs and stuff there on the earth, okay, all right? But for the most part, the color of the leaves in this beautiful earth, does that help you with a headache? No. Although you can get some medicines and things of that nature, I'm just saying that there's a hope that we're going to be delivered from this nasty, nasty now and now. And that should generate a great hope. And I'll show that to you. And we're going to go to a heavenly and a holy place, a clean place. Look with me in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God." From where? Out of heaven. That's where it's going to reside. We're going to live in a city, but that city is going to be in heaven. It's called New Jerusalem. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that's where I want to stop right there. But we're going to get away from this nasty, wicked, sin-cursed, vile world. What a hope that is. I'll prove it to you. Examples of the darkness and the nastiness of the world. Last week in Chicago, there was 3 killed and 41 wounded. That's only one big city in America. In America, what about Singapore? You know, what about Honolulu? What about all the big cities? You know, let's make America great again. Weeks before in Chicago, 9 killed, 58 wounded. This is a wicked, vile place. And maybe you get to enjoy it because you know the Maker and you're not involved in all this stuff. But it still does not negate the fact that this earth is wicked and vile. Amen. This world is nasty. It's run by the God of this world. The Bible says, Paul said, he who now lets the mystery of iniquity is at work still. underlying all these things. Hey, who do you think's running the CDC? Who do you think's moderating Bill Gates? Who do you think's working all these big boys up in the big places, in the high places? It's a mystery of iniquity. It's Satan. It's a spirit of Antichrist. You say, you're crazy. No, you're crazy. That's what this book says. This book says the whole world's going to come after the Jew and try to annihilate the Jew, and is going to put their God on the throne, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. And the Bible says the whole world is going to wander after him. And not only that, but the Bible says that God is going to send this whole world strong delusion that they might believe a lie. You wouldn't have to know of any liars in our political system today, would you? That God's going to send this world strong delusion that they might believe a lie, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be damned. This world's filthy and wicked, and I'm looking forward to getting away from it. I'm looking forward to getting out of it. The other week, 6 killed, 56 wounded. The World Health Organization reported 1.2 million abortions in the world from January to February in 2021. You're going to make the world a better place, are you? You want to live in it? You want to enjoy it? You want to suck it up? You want to marry it? You want to be around it? Go ahead, brother. You're going to get filthy and nasty and dirty. I'll set my affections on things above. I'll try to get people out of the thing, out of the system, so that they can enjoy the same joy that I'm enjoying and have the same hope that I have. We're going to be able to get out of this wicked place and go to a heavenly and a holy place. In 2019, up to CDC says, I don't know how it goes, up to 2019, there were 70,630 drug overdoses, deaths in America. 841,000 since 1999 in the U.S. of A. In 2019, there were 750,000 divorces conducted in the United States of America. Land of the free, home of the brave. Is that what my grandfather died for in World War II and is buried for over in Epinal, France? Is this what our men, women, boys and girls gave their lives for in the name of liberty, so that we could have this debauchery? You say, what is it? It's just the Adamic nature, unchecked. Man, we're going to a heavenly place. In 2019, there were 10,142 people died due to drunk drivers. And between 2010 and 2019, there's an average of 10,000 people dying in America each year because of drunk drivers. And the list goes on and on. 2019, that's where it reverts back to. Heart disease took up to 2019, 659,000 lives. Cancer, 599,000. Accidents, 173,000. Strokes, 150,000. Sounds like a great place to be, huh? I think someone said for to depart and to be with Christ is far better. But I'm in a straight betwixt too. Yeah. This world and this, and the list goes on and on. This world and this earth is unholy, evil, wicked, and full of death. Christians have the hope of going to a much better place. So how many of you would like me to describe that place for you? Okay, I will. Hey, Revelation chapter 21, verse 21 says it's a new place. You don't have to go there because I'm going to list these quickly. You can go if you want and look. Revelation, I'm going to describe the place where we're going to live. It's a new place. Who doesn't like a new car, a new home? A new dress, a new frying pan to beat your husband up with. I don't know. People like new things. Amen. Scratch that from the message. No beating the husbands up with the frying pans. Okay. Hey, new things. It's a new place. It's a holy place. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2 says it's from God. Revelation chapter 23 says God will be with us. Hey, you kids, especially Matt. Well, I shouldn't ask the Magnusons. They're good kids. But you know what? Sometimes when my parents were away, I had some fears. I had some insecurities. You know the place where I'm going to be for all eternity? My daddy's going to be with me. My father's going to be with me. There's going to be no more insecurities. I'm not going to lack for anything. Any problem that I would have up there, I'll be able to. He'd say, okay, you do. Okay, I got it fixed up. Thanks, Dad. That's the place where I'm going. It's Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says there's not going to be any more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more memory of this earth. The Bible says that the former things are passed away. in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 21, to explain it, it's going to be a beautiful place that we're going to reside in with all the colors. And they talked about on the news the other day about the northern lights that were seen in Minnesota. I mean, those colors hit the news, right? We've seen the northern lights once or twice as a family. And oh, yeah, you know, you see the light shine off of rings and off of diamonds. And oh, how beautiful a pendant you have, ma'am, or how beautiful a ring that is. And look at all those colors. That's what we're going to reside in. Hey, listen, we were traveling up here from Rochester maybe a month ago, and, you know, in Minnesota when it should have been snowing. It was raining and it was beautiful. We saw a double rainbow. You know what colors do in the sky? It causes people to go, and it's heavenly. Whoa. That's where we're going to reside, man. We're going to reside in a place like that. We're going to live in a place like that. Man, that should bring some hope. Revelation, it's a beautiful place. It's a place where God's glory and Jesus Christ are going to be the light. There's going to be the Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any need of the sun, the moon, and the stars, because the Lamb is going to be the light thereof. Could you imagine windmills up in heaven? Oh, we want clean energy in heaven. Could you imagine? How about here, we're going to have nuclear power plants up in heaven in order to run the lights. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the nuclear power plant. He's the source of the energy up there. We're going to get all our light from Him. The lights are never going to dim like out in California. Have any brownouts? We're not going to have to worry about the ozone. Ain't going to be no ozone, man. It's just going to be God and His glory. We're going to be breathing God's inspiration in continually for all eternity. It's just going to flow through our new bodies. Yeah, that's the description of it. I'll tell you something, there's not going to be anything that's going to be able to enter therein to defile the place. There's not going to be anything that's going to be able to work abomination in that place. There's not going to be a liar up in heaven. No Democrats, no Republicans, no socialists, no communists. There ain't going to be one liar up there in heaven. Not going to be able to get in. Won't even be able to get close to the place. Thank God for that. In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, it says, how about some of the things that are going on up in heaven? You say, what am I trying to do? Just paint a picture. Maybe I'll only get one point in. I only got 20 more minutes. But I think it's exciting because you know what I want to talk about next? As far as hope goes, you're going to drop this vile bag of flesh. That's my next point. And then you want to know what my third point is? You're going to be able to behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all glory. That's my third point. You're going to be able to take Him by the feet. You're going to be able to give Him a hug. As a matter of fact, listen, I'll get right there just for a second to try to capture your imagination. I guarantee that when you get to the gates of glory, He's not going to treat you like a fair weather friend. Oh, have Him take an appointment. I'll get with Him pretty soon. You know, hey, listen, if you step through the door in order to be saved, in order to glorify Him in the work that He did in His life and on the cross and down in hell and through the grave and rose again the third day, He's not going to make you take a number. If you step through that door to get eternal life, and then when you step to the gates of glory, you got a number in that you got to wait. I guarantee the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, He's going to be right there with the same attitude that David had about Mephibosheth when Mephibosheth came to that palace, and that David went out there and met Mephibosheth when he was on that cart and said, "Welcome home! Amen. Welcome home." That's what you have to look forward to. We love family saying welcome home to us. But the Lord Jesus Christ... You say, what's going on up in heaven? There's trumpets up there. There's harps up there. There's lightnings and there's thunderings up there. There's folks dressed up there in white raiment. There's shouting going on up there. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. That's going on right now up there currently as I'm down here flapping my choppers at you. And it's going to go on for all eternity. I'll tell you what, there's a sealed book up there. And the Bible says about that sealed book that there was no one that could open that book. And when John saw that book and he's up in heaven and he's seeing the revelations, there was no man to open that book. And he cried and he cried. And an angel said to him, John, stop it up. There's a man that hath prevailed. There's someone by the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he took his sword, and on all those seals of that book, he went, boop, boop, boop. And the book went, boop. And the book's open in heaven now. I don't know, I told Brother Mike that. I don't know where he got his inspiration from, but you got a book and you got a lion, and you got a book and you got a lion in heaven, and nobody could open it but that lion. So there's, unfortunately, I don't want to say there's cats in heaven. There's a lion. I guess that's a cat. You know, there's singing, there's 10,000s, you know, there's 10,000s times 10,000s of saints and angels, and they're up there and they're swinging golden vials full of odors, and they're singing and they're singing and they're singing. You know how marvelous it is when you're in a church service and the singing is just, it's just wonderful? What that does to your spirit? What that does to you, how that exhorts you, how that makes you sometimes cry, how that makes you sometimes smile, how that makes us Northern Baptists once in a while shout to the glory of God. Amen! You know, when the blood is talked about, or when heaven is talked about, or when redemption is talked about, or when these things are talked about, and you're in a service like that, and it exhorts you, how about up in heaven? Man, you bounce off the galaxies because they sang there's power in the blood. Hey, listen, up from the grave he arose, and 10,000 angels burst off like one of, you know, Elon Musk's rockets. Up from the grave he arose, there goes another 10,000, the Lord's just smiling all over the place. That man, that's where we're going to go live, folks. Amen. Yes, sir, amen. Yes, sir. Well, they're rejoicing about the Lamb of God that died to make them kings and priests unto earth. They're rejoicing up there about the death and of the Lord and the blood he shed to redeem them back to God. I'll move on. But what a hope that's laid up for us. The hope of we're going to get, death is just a promotion. You know, we cry and things of that nature and we miss folks. But the Bible says that we sorrow not as others which have no hope. You know, Brother Barber's dad passed. We know where he's at. It was hard, right, brother? But we had the comfort. We had the hope to know. And you know what? His dad had a walk with the Lord. His dad had a desire to seek truth. And we're edified by that. And yeah, we're a little sad. Hey, husbands, that's why you ought to love your wives. Because one day you're not going to have them. Hey, wives, that's why you ought to love your husbands just a little more. Because one day you're not going to have them. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. You want to know what was so special at the Father-Son retreat? Is that my son was with me at the Father-Son retreat. You know, it could be possible that in the next 4 years, I could go to that retreat and I could see my son at the table. I could see my son at church. I could see my son shooting trap. I could see my son trying to catch a fish or two while I catch them all. But I could see him in the boat. But you know where he's not going to be? He ain't going to be with me. He's going to transition on in life. That's what happened to my first 5 kids. They're not with me. I can just see Abigail sitting there right now. And that's why you should not take advantage of one another. As Christians, we shouldn't take advantage of one another. We should enjoy one another in this place. And thank God you're going to get to go to heaven. But we ought not. We ought not take advantage. We should enjoy one another. There is nothing but heaven worth setting our hearts upon. Let me ask something. How will you feel when you reunite with that loved one that went before you up to heaven? How's that reunion going to be? That after you meet the Lord at that gate, and then the Lord says, "Hey, your wife is." I know she's right behind you. Yeah. Hey, your grandmother. Yeah, I. Man, how is that reunion going to be? Do you have some people that are on the other side? You think about that. You think about that reunion. And how lovely it's going to be to see my dad. How lovely it's going to see to be my uncle who led me to the Lord that's in heaven right now. How lovely it's going to be to see some of the preachers that I've known before, or some of those that's mentored me that's gone on before. That's going to be a great reunion. That's something lovely to look forward to. Well, I've belabored the point. That's evident. But heaven is and getting away from this earth is something to be belabored about. I'll give you another one. Christians have the hope of being able to get away from this vile, wretched, sinful, stinky body. Man, listen. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 1 through 8. For sake of time, I won't go there. But he says that more or less like a snake, he's desirous to shed this house and to be clothed upon with an earthly house that is from heaven. You know what that earthly house is? That's a new body. That's a new mind. That's a new heart. And this old body, like a snake, it's a no wonder the Lord said, you serpents, you generations of vipers. And you say, you call me a snake? Well, wait a minute. Job said that in my flesh dwelleth worms. And the Bible says about a lost person, a lost person that loses their soul in the second death, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Yeah, so that's kind of what we are, just a little bit. Thank God we're a saved worm. Thank God we got on the hook. Thank God we got saved. Amen. I'm a sheep. No, I'm a sheep. I'm not a worm anymore. Amen. But Christians have the hope of getting rid of this body. This body or my flesh or the old man or the old nature fights me every step of the way each day. The only time I give God a break, I've mentioned this before, the only time I give God a break is when I'm asleep. And you want to know something? When the pressures mount, how much sleep do you get? When you're not even thinking about stuff and you have burdens on you and you have anxiety on you and you're trusting the promises of God and you're praying to God and you're doing all that you can to try to get those pressures away. And the body is a thing that fights you and steals your peace. Brother, listen, we're going to shed this thing one day. Either by the undertaker, and I hope it's by the uppertaker. O death, where is thy sting? Paul said. O grave, where is thy victory? And the Bible doesn't have much to say about our body as far as it being good. My flesh lusts for carnal things. My mind produces ungodly thoughts. My hands have touched that which they should not. My feet have taken me places that they ought not to have gone. My tongue has uttered filthy and ungodly, wicked and perverse things. And man is the measure of all things. Man is the measure of a stinky garbage can at best. Because man, the end of man's equal sign is nothing but DOA. And that's why Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is man's hope. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Bible talks bad about this sinful body. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about feet being swift and running to evil. James chapter 4, verse 8 speaks of dirty hands, for it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Nothing like positivity while we're talking about going to heaven. Amen. Let's talk the body down just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, eyes full of adultery and a heart full of covetousness. Now, I know as Americans, we don't deal with covetousness and idolatry. Okay, I'll move past that, okay? In James chapter, talking about the vileness of this body, James chapter 3, verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world full of iniquity, set on a fire, the course of hell, and it defiles the whole body. The body is so nasty and foul, if it were to die, and this is true, agree with me or don't agree with me, but I think you will. Our body is so nasty and foul, if you were to die, and we were to let you lie before us for a month, right here. We just let you lie right there in a heap. Good old John. He was a great Christian. Oh, praise the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he passed away. And we're going to do an experiment with John. We're just going to let him lie there. We're not going to bury him. We're just going to let him lie there for a month. Let me ask you something. the same attitude that you had for good old John, the great Christian John that you had before, and all his love and the love for him. And then we let good old John just sit there after he died for a month. Would your attitude change? Man, you walked in that door back there, your attitude would change quick. Get that guy out of here. He stinks to the high heavens. You say, what are you talking about? That's my body. And I'm going to get rid of this stinky, filthy, nasty, wretched thing and the demented nature that it has that fights God every step of the way. The hope is that's generated that you should think about is that we're going to get a new body. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change," the Bible says, "our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." You say, what's that? The old one's going to get traded in for the new one. We're going to get a body that's just like Jesus Christ. Man, what a blessing that is. And the Bible says there that it's going to be fashioned. You know, I got to thinking in Philippians there, the fashioned like unto the Jesus Christ body. Excuse me. What type of fashion do you think the Lord has when it comes to the body that you and I will have? Will it be like a Corvette? You know, will it be like, a Dodge? I don't know. Will it be like a GTO? Will it be like a Mustang? You know? What's the fashion of his? Hey, listen, if he was able to go from earth to the new heaven and then back within, I don't know, an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, that's got to be a fast vehicle that he flies around in, brother. It's not going to get sick. Hey, it's not going to have anxiety. You're going to be able to eat what you want. With your body, you're going to be able to do what you want, and it's not going to be sinful. It's not going to break down. You're not going to need hip replacements. It's not going to lose hair. It's not going to get white. You're not going to lose your memory. All those positive things about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take that one over this one because it's waiting for me up in glory. Praise the Lord for that. That produces a lot of hope. And it should produce hope. And I have this, and you know the joy and the hope that you feel when you go to pick out a new, you fill in the line. Because if I say car, there's people in here that say, I ain't never bought a new car before. Well, okay, I get that, alright? I said this before. You know the hope and the joy you feel when you go to pick out a new clothes? You say, well, they come from the secondhand store. Well, join the club, man. I love secondhand stores, amen? You can get great stuff from secondhand stores, brother. I was raised with that stuff with my dad, you know? And nonetheless, you know how you feel when you get something new and you like it and it's nice and you have fancies for it? How about that new body? How about the hope laid up for you? Man, you're going to be able to. Well, yeah, I'm not going to say that, but you're going to be so busy up in heaven, there's not going to be a desire to want to go to sleep because you're just going to enjoy the glory of God so much. There'll never be a place for you to just want to kind of sort of go take a nap. Amen? The body doesn't get tired. The body doesn't run down. It's an everlasting life. It's an everlasting body. There ain't going to be no COVID up in heaven. Amen? No more respiratory problems for that new body up in heaven. Amen? Don't have to worry about a shot or a poke or whatever with your new body. I think the new body will be able to fend off the COVID scenario. You know, there's you think about a little girl and the dreams of her wedding one day. And you've seen it. Girls, they play dress up, don't they? And if they can, they can get a hold of that wedding dress. Maybe it's one that Mama's bought for her in the secondhand shop. And she's got all those things. Man, them girls, they like getting together. They like dressing up. And they dress up. And that little girl, she dresses up in the wedding dress. And maybe there's some flowers there. And maybe and she's going to meet her Prince Charming one day. And she walks down the hallway and she trips over the dress. And it's about 9 miles behind her. And she's just this little thing. But she's got that dress on. And all of a sudden, time goes by, and now a Prince Charming comes into that little girl's life. And now that little girl is going out, and she's looking for that perfect, perfect, perfect dress. And she finds it. and you hear the story about it, and you, oh my goodness, wow, and we had to tailor that thing, and all that, it's got all the rhinestones on it, and that, you know, tiara, and all this stuff. And that day comes, and she gets to put it on one time. And when she's in that thing, she feels like a queen. And she goes, and she meets her Prince Charming, and they get married, and they become one. You know what that's a picture of? The Lord has a wedding dress for you. The Lord has a body prepared for you. And you're going to put it on one day, and you're going to meet Him, and y'all are going to go into a happy ever after for all eternity. Boy, that for me, that creates some hope, because my body gives me a fit. And then lastly, I started a little late, and I'll wind it down. Christians have the hope of being with their Savior and God forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." But you got good hope there and everlasting consolation. And as I mentioned before, and I skipped to the end of this message, we're going to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, He's the one that created this whole thing. By Him were all things created, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You want to know something? The very seat that you're sitting in, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is holding that thing together. The very clothing that you have on, the very body that you have, the very soul, that eternal soul that you have, was made by Jesus Christ, and as He's holding all things together by the word of His power, the Bible says. That's just how powerful Jesus Christ is. And you know what hope that's laid up for the Christian in heaven? You're not going to be denied by Him. You know how it feels when teams are picked and you're the last one to be picked? You know how it feels? It don't feel too good. That's because of your several ability. Okay. All right. I get it. No one likes to be excluded from a group or from a clique of friends. That's not going to happen in heaven. Jesus Christ is going to include you just like the Archangel Michael or Seraphim or anybody else that's up there. There'll be no favoritism. That's wonderful. Jesus Christ knows how it feels to be rejected. And because you received Him as your Savior and are trying to walk with Him by faith down here, the Bible says, "For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren." The Lord up in heaven walks by you. "Hey, brother. Well, I thought that was the King." But He's not ashamed to call you brother. He's not ashamed to call you sister. You're not going to be excluded up there. As a Christian down here, you're excluded some for your testimony, amen? You're excluded some for the way that you live your life and its sanctity, and people don't want you around. You're excluded, but up in heaven, you won't be excluded. You'll be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. By the grace of God, I've been talking about this person that I haven't seen physically for the last 30 years. What a privilege that has been. I've prayed to an unknown God. Not unknown, but unseen. I've done all these things by faith. And one day, you never know, it might be today, my faith is going to become sight. And I'm going to see Him face to face. The song says, "Face to face with Christ my Savior." It's amazing to think about the infatuation Mary had while the Lord lived on this earth. While she was on the earth, she anointed Him with spikenard. She anointed Him with oil. Hey, listen, when the infatuation that Mary had and those women had with the Lord Jesus Christ, the infatuation that when He was alive, she anointed Him, that when they wound His body up and His body was taken down off that cross, they anointed Him with oil. And she had such an infatuation with Him. She had such a love for Him. She wanted to see Him and be with Him and take care of Him. Even when she was in the grave, 3 days later, she was the only one that went back to that grave with what? Oils to anoint that body so that the body wouldn't dry out. And you know what happened? One person got the audience of the Lord Jesus Christ just because of the care and the infatuation that Mary had with Jesus Christ. You know what that translates to you and I as? "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to live forever and to sing of His grace. All that stuff, man. On the streets of glory, let me... What? Lift my voice. Cares all past. Home at last. Thank you, sister. Ever to rejoice. What a hope. We're going to see Him face to face. Jesus Christ is the most unique person in history. No man can write a history of the human race without giving first and foremost place to this penniless teacher from Nazareth. We should desire to see Him face to face. Our faith will end in sight. I'll close with this. It's the hope that you're going to see Him, that you're going to embrace Him, and He's going to embrace you. You guys know the story when my wife went to Ohio for the birth of our second grandchild, Judson, down there. And we had planned that the due date was right here, so she would come a week early, and then Anna would have the baby, you know, because that's just when it should have been, on the due date, right? And then she would be there a week, and then everything would be hunky-dory, and then Audra would fly back 2 weeks later. Well, the due date didn't come on the first week. The due date came on the second week, so she's gone too. And then, of course, thank God she has the liberty. She's got the liberty. Audra stayed another week. But you want to know what happened in them 3 weeks? I kind of got out of balance just a little bit. I kind of got a desire of wanting to... I could hear her voice, but I couldn't see her. You know? And I could see her through the phone just a little bit. But what am I trying to say? And then, okay, she's coming home on a Saturday night at 5:30. Oh, what great desire. Why? Because I'm going to see her. I wonder when my 5:30 will come. I wonder when my 5:30 will come, when I get to see Him, when I get to embrace Him, when I get to talk with Him face to face, when He gets to talk with me. Want to know what happened? They canceled Audra's flight. And you guys know that, because you were all concerned about Brother Butler. Is that brother, is he doing okay? He's looking a little green around the gills, man. You better watch that guy. What happened? Saturday or Sunday, they got another flight. We got to pick her up at 11:15 at night. And we thought Southwest was going to cancel again, because 1,000 flights had been canceled that next day. 800 the day before, 1,000 the next day. I thought for sure it was going to get canceled. And you want to know how much I know my wife loves me? They've overbooked the flight by 4 seats. And they said, we'll give $600 to anybody that gives up their seat. And my wife didn't even go like this. She said, I ain't going to do it. So she loved me more than $600. And in my mind, I'm like, but. But you know what? Nathan and I were up there at that airport, man. And then we saw one another. I had some flowers for her. And you know what? We embraced. We were back together. What's that an illustration of? And I'm done. That's an illustration of, you have the hope that one day, and I hope it's soon, and I hope it's by the upper taker, it may be by the undertaker, but nonetheless, you're going to get transitioned from this vile, filthy world, which is full of nastiness, which CNN and NBC portray to us all the time, and I don't even watch it. Just nothing but death and nastiness and control and fear. One day we're going to get out of this place. And we're going to a pure place. We're going to a holy place. We're going to a lovely place. We're going to a place where our Father is at and will be forever. And He prepared that place for us. We're going to get away from this nasty body, this filthy thing that fights us continually to not want to give honor and glory to Jesus Christ, but wants it to make us serve it and not Him. And we're going to get a new body. And then you want to know what should generate some hope, and some hopes that are laid up in heaven for us and should affect us down here, is that we're going to be able to see Jesus Christ face to face. And He's accepted us into the beloved, and He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And He's going to be right there at the door to greet us when we get there. However He does it, because I know there's millions going up, but He's going to be right there to embrace you and to talk to you and say, come on in, son. Come on in, daughter. Well done. Come on in. I've prepared this place for you. Amen. That should get you through a few bumps in the road. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you'd like to think about what was spoken, maybe in your heart, you should say, thank you, Lord. You're saved in here today? Thank you, Lord. You might make it home today. You might not. I hope you do. You might live another 20 years. You might not. But if you're saved, you know what you should say today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're going to deliver me from this present evil world. Thank God. You're not bound down by it. You're not tied to it. You're going to deliver me from this wretched body. And you're going to accept me. It's going to be face to face. Face to face with Christ, my Savior.